AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser in St. Louis with Andrew Collin. Noah is in Arizona. And we are headed to Texas this weekend.
You know how I do down there.
There. And then we are in Florida and... All right. We know how he does down there, too.
All there.
What about New Orleans? No, what? Do some Nolans.
Oh,
what
if, now you
go
down
give
there.
It a sound effect to Nolans.
You go down now, you get your good crawfish down there off Bourbon Street. Everyone want to go down to French Quarter. You want to go down 13th.
I want you to do your whole set in that accent. Just do that the whole time.
Oh, down there in New Orleans?
Yeah, that almost sounds... It's the same voice you use when there's a foul ball that goes flying.
Oh, yeah, that, oh, they're going up there.
Oh, now, come now.
One day it will come. One time I saw a foul ball go so high, it actually came, and it was coming at me, and everybody... It was such a high... Like, certain foul balls you don't try
it
to
catch.
It
sounds like the beginning of, like, the movie Big Fish. One time I saw a foul ball go so high. I've never even seen Big Fish, but I think it's like a tall tale. Movie.
I love that you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it. I remember seeing ads for Big Fish and being like, that looks magical. And yeah. People always on Reddit
well,
talk
boy's
about
in
Big
it.
Fish.
Crudup.
Who's my boy?
Crudup.
Oh, Crudup.
I love that last name. Crudup.
Crudup.
Cricket.
Cricket. Crudup is so hot. Oh, my God.
I told you I saw him in the Hamptons in real life.
Yeah,
he walked past
he
my
was,
car.
He looked like an old, like.
He looked like a ghost kind of like Crudup.
Yeah, like the woman that the guy in Thinner.
He looked
hits
more like crud.
Crud.
Just crud. So anyways, this fly ball went so high in the air that everyone like scattered because it was that high. Except for one person went like this. Like, you know when you like something's coming at you, so you just duck, you know? So you think you'll be fine, but
I know. Yeah, you just don't know where it's going to... That's me catching any ball that comes at me. Go into a fetal
position. Top of the head.
Top of the head.
The one person that didn't move... Dead.
Nuh-uh.
He got crit up.
Did he die?
Nah, the boy didn't get
crit up. You could die from that.
But right away, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, it was like a cartoon.
Oh, where like the big bump? Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, it was literally man. Like...
Yeah, I think...
Concuss.
Yeah, he got concuss. Yeah.
He definitely got concuss.
Yeah, good down there. But yeah, I'm excited for Texas.
I'm excited for Nashville as well.
Yes, Ryman Theater.
Ryman Theater.
They got the original seats in there. Actually, I don't know if we should tell people that.
What do you mean?
They're like made out of the old wood that they did when the church.
Oh, you think people like some germ freaks might be like, no, I'm not going there if they got the original seats.
Uncomfortable splinters.
Okay. Yeah. I usually do a little talk before live shows.
Yeah.
About social anxiety and like if you have to pee, just go pee and all that stuff. And I usually do it before I bring you up. No. Before yes. you come out. Yes, before I bring you up. It's kind of like a little thing I come out before I go out. But you weren't there this past weekend, so I wasn't able to, like, do my little speech. So I just did it at the top of the show. And God, does that set the stage for a, like, everyone just chills out. There's so much anxiety about going to show. Like, that's not something I struggle with, but people have a big struggle with.
And it's one thing hearing it from the horses, not calling you a horse, but.
Wow. That sounded like a horse cat.
Hearing it from the horse's mouth. No, the horse's mouth.
Did you say horse or whore?
He said horse.
Let the listener decide.
Yeah. I'd rather be called a whore than a horse. I think I used that joke at one of the roasts. I was like, oh, you know what they do for girls? Like, I know what I'm going to get tonight. You're going to call me a horse face, but switch it to a horse face or something like that. Okay.
So Gerard Carmichael, where I think we talked a little, we haven't talked about his special yet on here, but
no.
Fantastic.
And I'm not going to. I'm just
you
kidding.
Shouldn't.
I haven't seen it yet. I know he comes out.
He does come out of the closet as a white man.
Oh,
yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Well, he should be canceled because that is an impressive.
Yeah.
Blackface.
Yeah. 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 It's pretty good. He has some of the funniest 10 minutes on coming, like, about being, like, from a place that isn't cool with people coming out, like right. his family, and how it's so ingrained in him to not be accepted towards gay people, where he was, like, roasting himself for being gay. Like, even when he's with his partner, he's, like, making out with the dude, and he's, like, pause. Like he's blowing the guy. He's, like, no homo. Like his yes. whole, like... Everything in his DNA, whatever. So, but at the beginning of his thing, he comes out, and his whole first 3 minutes is how, like, look, we're just friends. For this to be great, let's just act as family. Like, he gave a disclaimer, kind of like what you did, and it really does. You feel it. You feel a difference in the room. It doesn't feel as much of like a I'm talking at you as like we're like all together in the room.
Yeah, and it's just like. You just want people to be comfortable. The only way a show is good is if people are comfortable, like that you know what you're doing, that they're not going to be called out or embarrassed, that if, because you were
that's
the one that
is.
Kind of gave me it, was like, what, Noah, that.
I think, okay, so like as a patron of comedy shows and not a comedian, I think it lets the audience relax in a way because for the people who are there who are your comedy fans, not necessarily the podcast listeners, you're known and loved for your roast jokes. Mm-hmm. So they think that if they get up to the bathroom or if they have to walk out or something, it kind of puts a target on them and they might end up being roasted, I guess, like in their mind, that's the story that they tell themselves. So I think it does kind of put them at ease because it's like, no, you can go to the bathroom. I'm cool with it. Okay. She's not going to roast
me. I hate like it would just happen. You're exactly right. It would happen after at meet and greets when people would be like, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And I'm like, why didn't you go? Yeah, and they're like, I just didn't want to interrupt the show. And I'm like, no. I need to let people know I will not say a damn thing if you go to the bathroom. You could literally yell fire and run out. And I'd be like, everyone stay calm. Ignore that woman. Like, I just don't, I'm never, I do not go into the audience unless it's absolutely necessary and someone's like really causing a disturbance. I just would never do that to someone.
It sets me up to crush so hard.
Oh, yeah, because then the second someone gets up to the bathroom, Andy goes, "Where are you going to take a shit?" You know, because I say, oh, if you go to the bathroom as a woman, I'm not going to be like, "Look at this lady going to take a shit." Like, that's what a lot of comics do. It's so annoying. And so people, like, truly have bladder disorders because of comedy shows where they're just so scared of being called out. I mean, I used to have that kind of anxiety, too, of just, like, I just don't want to be seen. I don't want to be picked on. I don't. And you're watching someone do something, if you have a little bit of stage fright, that seems so – it almost is like watching – when I watch – a circus act, or like I won't go see Cirque du Soleil. Like I was just in Vegas and I had a night off and I was looking up tickets to Love, the Beatles show, and I won't go see it because I don't like seeing people do things that if I did it, I would die.
Oh, so like people on stage.
And the thing is, I'm a professional, so maybe you could watch me and be like, oh my God, I could never do that. That makes me so scared. It doesn't change the fact that they know I'm a professional unless I'm just like make them so sure that nothing's gonna happen. Like, that, but Cirque du Soleil cannot do that for me. There's no way, because I'm like, but you could slip. Like, there's something that could happen. So I can take that in, because I always consider my act like they're watching like Cirque du Soleil in terms of like, I can't even enjoy this because it's so, that is such my nightmare if I'm scared of heights. Because so many people's nightmare is doing exactly what we do and talking into a microphone with nothing else to help you.
Yeah, but isn't that
except the words that are coming out of your mouth.
But the thrill of circus, what did I call
Cirque du Soleil. What Circus Ole.
Circus Ole. Circus Mole.
It's a chocolate sauce.
Delicious. Is my
that
favorite.
You don't know if they're going to fall and die, right? So the idea of you going
Why
up there.
Why does anyone like that?
I'm just saying that's what people like stand up for, especially with people that they don't know is good or not. They want to see maybe they will fail. Like people like a fail.
I'm offended by everything you just said, mostly because you said they don't know if they is good or not.
Yeah, I failed that sentence. But how fun was that? What if I told you? What if I told you that sentence? What if I told you that sentence was going to be bad?
You know what I would say to people who enjoy watching stand up because they like watching people bomb?
Yeah.
Or they want to see someone like uncomfortable? You are a sick person. You're truly, you have a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, even people who like to go to, I hate air shows. I hate diving board things. I hate things that are like, you're risking your life so much, like drag racing or any kind of
I have a UFC. Story in the news about this, by the way.
My God,
this
Formula One. My boyfriend's so into Formula One, and I just got kind of an offer to do a shoot adjacent to a Formula One thing. And he's like, maybe we could go to the like, see if maybe we could, because it's like shooting around, like with the theme of it is Formula One, and it's happening like a race weekend. And I haven't said yes to it yet, but I sent it to him being like, would you want to come to this with me? Because he's huge into Formula One. And I'm terrified to go to a Formula One thing. I don't like fast, loud things. And I don't like things that the margin of error is so small that they could careen into the crowd. And I probably will get really good seats.
Yeah.
And die.
Yeah, you're in the careen area for sure.
You know, I just don't, I don't like that stuff. And it's just, I don't understand people who do. I don't, it makes me feel really not close to my fellow man, because I just don't get why anyone...
Are you going
to
go? Are you going
to
do it?
Yeah, because I love him, and it means if we get to... You know, I'm still waiting to hear back, but if we do get tickets, I'll go, because I know it means so much to him, and it would be like me going... Him going to a Taylor Swift concert. He's not going to potentially die at a Taylor Swift concert.
What is the last game that you experienced where someone could die? Like, have you actually been in the stands for something like that?
My parents used to go bring me to air shows as a kid, or like circuses where the motorcycles are in that cage.
Oh yeah.
And I would have a panic. I'm not kidding you. I can't even think about it. Like I hate it so much. I hate things that are very fast in tandem next to each other, where if you literally go like this with the steering wheel, it's a humongous, even horse races where like a horse just kind of trips, boom. Races, Tour de France, when they're all so close. That's my phobia, is things going fast close to each other.
Yeah.
One thing going fast on its own in a desert somewhere, fine. I don't give a fuck. But together, fast, speed skating, anything like that, no. I don't like it.
Just trying to think how you could conquer this fear. Or if
no,
you even
I'm not,
want
I don't
to.
Want to. I have no interest.
She's going to face it with her boyfriend, and that's how you're going to...
I like, really have to get into this because we're going to be a Formula One family. Like, he wants to get into Formula. Like, he loves, I'm trying to get into it. I'm going to try to have a love for it.
You could buy a car. You could
I'm going to have my own car.
You should. And you should have a baby Formula One.
It's going to be the Starbucks car.
It should be Formula.
Four.
I'm four. It's just so funny. Like a little baby car. No, dude. No, but you could get into, I'm sure in St. Louis, if you just Google, you know, where do rednecks hang out? There's like.
Formula One's not rednecks.
No. But the pre.
Yeah, that PRIX. Stuff, yeah.
That kind of shit. Where you can get like.
Grand Prix.
Yeah, you get like trucks that. Fucking
no monster truck. Like he brought his my boyfriend brought his nephews to this like you know that like this Sunday everyone's gonna be like you know those weird ads where the guy talks like this and then it goes like this. I hated those ads as a kid. I would even during like when I was watching Saved by the Bell and they would like advertise those trucks just going like boom and like falling in an arena and all this dirt
Grave
coming up.
Digger.
Hate Bigfoot. Those things.
Blue Thunder.
What if it's something that you like? What if it's something you like?
What's wrong with people that they like to see people almost die?
What if you did it?
What's wrong with me that I love molestation documentaries and sex crime documentaries?
Because they're slow.
But you know what the thing is? They're slow. They groom slowly.
Yeah.
And there's no jump scares in a pedophile doc. There aren't.
You never see a molester in a Formula One. One, only one person can sit in it.
It's kind of true, though. I'm not kidding you. I like...
You don't mind a white van that's real slow
down
the road.
Because I really have to think about why I like pedophile documentaries. I really have to... I'm fascinated by pedophiles. I'm fascinated by people... Like, I want to hear all about the stories. I'm never, like, listening to the stories being like... I know that this doesn't itch or scratch some itch for me that is, like, a... It's not a pleasurable thing. It's definitely that same thing of like disgust, like that morbid curiosity. But the thing is, I put a thing out on my Instagram story the other night about like, if you have a sex crime documentary, please send it to me. Like, I can't get enough of this stuff. And I had a bunch of people write to me being like, I like this stuff too. And I'm ashamed that I like it. Because I go, I like this over murder docs. And I'm, listen, a lot of murder docs have sex crimes associated with them too. But I like... Docs about pedophiles and how they work. I like learning how these fucking...
Have you found a link?
You know what I think it is?
A link? Like between
what do you
all
mean?
Of them?
Like
I'm sure there's a top 20 pedophile movie.
What I'm going to do is I am too passionate about this. I need my knowledge. I have so much more knowledge than most people have about pedophiles. Because parents that have kids are like, I don't want to hear about it. Oh, that's so gross. And it's like... Why do I don't even have, you should want to hear about this. Like, why are people so scared?
I think I know.
I get it because you think of your kids and you go, it's not going to happen to my kids. I protect them.
No, I think it's
you don't know.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's like the other day when you sent me that joke and it had a rapist in it and changing it to murderer actually makes it more palatable.
Yeah.
Even though murder is, some would argue, worse than rape.
Mm-hmm.
Some would argue murder, which is a fine documentary to talk about that you
see. Yeah, women can go, I love murder docs, and no one goes, you're a murderer. But when I say like pedophile docs, they're like, you're creepy.
Because more people get molested than murdered. Like, or like it happens. Like,
I think more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I think it feels more awkward to be like, I'm really into this thing that actually happens a lot.
No, the problem is, the thing is, people don't know it happens a lot. Everyone's in denial of it.
Yeah.
If you knew the stats, which I'm not going to, you know, go into, but if you knew the stats, it is so alarming how much more it happens. And the problem is people don't talk about it because it involves sex and it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
It's children and sex and you don't combine those things and we don't talk about it. And the thing is parents need to know because parents think that they don't.
Should we start a morbid documentary podcast
about,
but it's just pedophile stuff?
Honestly, I need to educate the public about this.
And you tell me the story and I go,
it's the only way to defeat these guys. Because Chris and I, my boyfriend and I were just talking last night. We go, because I was telling him all the stuff I learned from the Jimmy Savile documentary that I watched on Netflix about the Mr. Rogers of Great Britain, who ended up being like a prolific pedophile, like the Bill Cosby of
Great
Britain.
Who would have saw it coming?
This guy, you would have.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
He is like, so... I don't understand
it goes
the
back
UK's
to your...
taste in entertainers at all after watching this guy. There's nothing charming about this guy, nothing funny. He was not even good. I don't get it. Someone tried to explain to me. I wrote to Robin, my hair and makeup friend, And I go, what was it about this? He's not charming. He's just a creep. And yet they when he died, it was like a member of the royal family died. In fact, he was knighted, which is a big fucking deal.
The royal families are creeps.
Yes.
They don't do anything. I hate
God forbid you say that.
I just said it.
Brits don't like it. Shots fired. All right, let's take a break and come back with more show.
Yeah, we'll talk about freaking Harry.
Harry?
Oh. There you go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. And with over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with the eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together, and you know she's not rich, and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them, and I did wash it, and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman, and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
And we're back. So what about Harry?
I don't want to get into it. I just got a phone call in between the break that said, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Or else.
And then a little laser was on your forehead.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But I'm cool now. I love the royal family. Good people. Yeah. Real good people. Strong character.
No, but Chris and I were on the phone last night talking at length about what do we do? What do we do to stop these people? Because what do you do? And I said, it's about education. It's about making kids okay with saying, I don't like being around my uncle. He gives me a weird vibe. Because the thing is, it starts with a touch that just feels a little too long. It starts with a creepiness that you feel long before the molester even does anything. Kids can feel it right away.
Yeah.
And Don't make your kids hug people they don't want to hug, no matter what you think. Don't ever force your kids to do anything or be alone with someone if they don't want to. And also, it's about educating kids about, like, if you ever feel weird around an adult, let me know. It's literally a vibe. Kids get a vibe right away. And if there is a person in your 91% of child molestations happen, the perpetrator is someone that the family knows and trusts. 91%. So you always think it's going to be a stranger.
Yeah.
The word there is trust. The family already trusts this person. So whoever you think in your life you trust, the person that would molest your kids, you would not expect it. So that needs to be sunken in, is that you are, that goes back to the book we were reading that we got besties to read, Talking to Strangers. We don't know people like we think we do.
Yeah.
And the people we do know, we think we know so well, but really people are strangers to us. And these people always start with, they never just go right to molesting. It starts with they are so slow. Like you said, maybe that's why I like it.
Yeah, you like a turtle.
There's a beginning and because Chris was like, so do we just like have to let them molest and then the kids tell us? And then I go, no. It doesn't need to get to that. It needs to get to, Mom, I don't like that guy. Mom, I feel that guy's a weirdo. Just being able to say that about an adult. Arlo doesn't like to hug me sometimes. He's just not in the mood. And my sister will go, you hug your aunt. And I go, no. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do ever physically with an adult, even though I know I'm not a creep.
Oh, I thought you were saying Arlo's molesting you.
Yeah, I go, no, I don't want it. I'm creeped out by that kid.
Yeah, you don't know what he's up to.
I'm into this reverse pedophilia. Like, no one's talking about that.
No one is.
That the kids are
actually
coming after
me. 84% of uncles that are molested by their nephews, they're good friends before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, it's just, an adult, I would never make my child, even if it was their grandmother, hug their grandmother, because it sets a precedent that you do things you don't want to do physically, human touch-wise, with another adult. And it sets a precedent that when something inappropriate happens with someone that isn't grandma, who we know and trust, maybe I should stay quiet about it and just do it and suck it up. And no, you got to have...
It just sucks because, like, one of my best childhood memories, and it sounds...
Is being forced to go down on your uncle.
It's my second favorite thing.
That would be so funny if you were like, seriously, though, one of my favorite memories was being groomed by my aunt.
No, and this is going to sound like that.
Yeah.
I'm coming out again. My grandpa would give me back rubs when I was a kid.
Did it make you uncomfortable?
Not at all.
Well,
no,
then that's fine.
No, I know that. But I'm saying that's what's so sad about this is that
there's nothing weird about that. If you felt uncomfortable, it would be weird.
It was my favorite thing.
Well, that's not... That was my favorite thing, too.
I'm not saying that I think... I'm not saying that it's... I'm just saying that, like, people could, through this, what we're trying to do...
No, mine is about listening to the children. It's not about looking with your own eyes. It's about knowing when your kid is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And letting them say something. If I saw my little boy getting back rubs from his grandpa, let's say it's the dad of my husband, so it's not a dad that I've been around as a little kid, so I know he's safe. My dad, he could rub kids back, and I would be like, oh, that's fine. But
that's what you think.
Well, I know he's into little girls, not little boys. So you read the kid. It's not about you being an adult reading adults, because adults will trick you. Do not rely on that spidey sense about adults. Look at your kid, because kids know.
And kids tell the truth.
And they always know. I've heard so many stories about molestations, and the kids know what's happening is not good.
Yeah.
And they just feel so scared to tell an adult. And you need to let your kids know, these people are going to say that they're going to murder mommy and daddy if you tell. They're going to say, and they're all lies. So if someone says this stuff, you need to tell them what they're going to hear so they get ahead of it. Let's get to the news. That's my little, this helps.
I'm not arguing it.
This helps.
I hope Grandpa was cool.
You heard it here first.
Oh man, it's Wednesday, folks. You know what that means. It is Wednesday. Hope you're having all the swells out there. We're coming to Texas, Austin, Dallas, Houston, all the places.
I mean, that's not all the places.
San Antonio. We're not going there. Plano.
We went there, though.
Not going to Plano.
Yeah.
Can you name another Texas town?
Abilene.
What are your thoughts on Austin?
Text us?
Yes. Is it disgusting?
Okay. Sorry, ham drip. Private ham drip. It's Austin the city. My thoughts are it's kind of like a Bourbon Street type thing. I like don't drink, but I also I think it's just I always described, you know how they always say there's a garbage patch in this in the ocean.
Yes.
That's the size of Texas. I always say that Austin is like that garbage patch is like reusable tote bags of the garbage patch. It's like, you know, it's like this part of the garbage patch that's like liberal, you know, they're like they're a little, it's like St. Louis in Missouri.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's different than what you think of the rest of the state as.
Is it too hyped up though? I always feel like people hype up Austin, like once I get to Austin, my life will be good. Mm. Like it's like one of those kind of places. I feel like it's top five wherever you go.
I think,
hey, where would you imagine
food,
living?
Food trucks. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Food trucks, music, honky tonks. Wait, that's Nashville. Shit.
It's the same shit, I guess.
No, I've always had good shit. I think of Topo Chico. That's the first place I had Topo Chico.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have a bucket of those backstage. I'm excited. Two shows.
Yeah. So we're going to be there. Paramount Theater.
All right. News story. Noah.
If you feel alone and afraid, warm up your hands, because a study suggests that physical warmth has the same lasting effect as the presence of a social support provider, and physical warmth inhibits fear, learning, and response.
My grandpa's hands.
Yeah. Wait, so warm up your hands and then touch yourself, or just like warm yourself
up? Mr. Miyagi style. Remember he did
that?
You remember?
Oh. I never saw it.
Oh. They say that warmth has the same effect as like a social support. So that's why like we always gravitate to like something warm if we're sick or if we're afraid of something.
It's
like a comforting thing.
And it's like almost like, you know, it's the way we describe people who we want to be around. They're warm.
Yes.
She's cold.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It's not even a temperature thing. That makes sense.
It reminds, you know, girls often ask, like, a lot of guys put their hands in their own pants because our balls are so warm. And it warms up our hands.
Oh, yeah, I always put my hands in mine.
It's calming to get inside your own flames.
Well, I just do it between my legs. Do you ever just go like this?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do your balls. You can just do it between your thighs.
That's where our balls are.
That's a good point. I forgot that those dangle down.
But this all makes sense. So many guys will watch, even when you're with your brother, with your bros, you will all just look over and there'll be six guys on a couch with their hands on their own dick. It's weird.
And there's something comforting about it. I mean, I like holding dicks. Like when I like I'm falling asleep,
like a soft dick, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like it's like one of those Slurpee
Slurpee. Yeah, those little
slinky.
I don't know. It just feels like it almost feels like I'm holding their hand, but it's not as like. Sometimes
intimate.
When I'm holding like my boyfriend's hand in bed, like I feel like he's probably just waiting until he can like let go of it. But his penis, like I feel like I can just hold that forever. It's not gonna. It just doesn't. And it feels so, it just feels like a, like just I'm holding on to something. I don't do it all the time, but I like the feeling of it.
You got him by the balls.
I got him by the balls.
Fucking balls. No, I like that, but I, as a guy, I just think like, you know, there's.
When you're flaccid, you don't want people down there.
It's not, but there's different kind of flaccid. We've talked about this before, but like a true flaccid, almost in your body penis, you don't want your girlfriend using as a support fucking handy.
That's a good point.
You just don't. It's just not comfortable as a guy. You want it. You still want it to be presentable.
Man, I love the AC in my room so much. I sleep so cold.
What
it's
are you
insane.
Sleeping on? 40?
60 degrees.
That's cold.
60. I wake up in the morning and it is so fucking cold. I love it so much. I'm just like, if I would have taken your room, I would be in hell.
Oh, because you don't have
you get they yeah. did just you cannot keep it as cold as I would want it to be. It's just so awesome. I never want to move from this apartment. It's the coldest room I've ever been able to get anywhere.
It's actually annoying because I live in the one bedroom and whatever. No one cares about this, but the living room for some reason, how it's set up, and same here too. It just feels more open, and the air feels colder outside the bed. Maybe because
but you like a warm bedroom.
I like a 69 now.
That is so hot.
Yeah.
Oh. And then are you wearing like long pants and like bundled up?
You know me. I freak
out. Oh, yeah. You're Winnie the Poohing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next story.
All right. Next story. I have to show you something.
Looks like
a lightning
strike.
Air show.
Okay, no. Sebastian Studenter. Now, I don't think this happened recently, but I just saw this in my feed recently. A German pro surfer rode a wave said to be over 100 feet tall at Nazaré, Portugal, which is the world's biggest wave of the season. And I wanted to show this to you.
I know this area well.
I saw this. You do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. I've seen documentaries on it. You know I'm a surfer.
Oh, my God. I mean, it looks insane. It looks like you're looking at... You can't even tell the wave. The wave takes up the whole screen, so you don't even see the top of the wave. It looks like the sky, and from where I'm seeing, it just looks like a jet flying across the sky leaving chemtrails.
That's it.
This wave is so huge. Did he die?
No, he made it.
No, he survived, and he set a world record.
Dude, my dad's cousin is one of the first people to ever do giant
Mavericks.
Surfing giants. Yeah, he
That's
started
a whole
that
other thing, too. Because he did it. First of all, there's great white sharks out there. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking like mile paddle. And
it's
he went out there with no leash.
Over 100 foot wave.
No, yeah. I understand that. But
if
there's
he falls off his board or something,
they're dead. They're dead if they fall.
But there's jet skis there. There's like I'm saying that your uncle's
my uncle
is
was
a badass.
My dad's cousin, yeah. Mark Reniker. If you look him up, Mark Reniker, he is one of the first big wave surfers ever. Mark Fu, who's a famous guy that died.
Yeah.
He was really good friends with Mark. But yeah, my dad's cousin is in like all these books. He was interviewed on 60 Minutes by Ed Bradley about surfing giants. Like he's in documentaries and stuff like that. But it's a wild.
The
that
reason
is
why
so
this is crazy,
I just don't get why you would do that.
The reason why this area is crazy is it's so close to shore that you can see how big these fucking waves are. Mavericks is like a mile off. Like you don't understand.
I didn't know that. Mavericks is like out.
So that's why your uncle's such a badass because he had to paddle out.
Yeah,
he might have had a leash.
Yeah, they he was really against. I remember when they started using jet skis to pull them out. He
that's
was
what
like,
I'm saying.
"Fuck that shit.
That's
pussy
what I'm saying.
Shit."
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to paddle out. Yeah.
Fucking wild.
I thought this was interesting though, because in an interview they asked him, how do you prepare mentally to take on some of the biggest and most dangerous waves in the world? And he said, for me, the mental preparation and readiness comes through physical preparation. The team has to be the right team. People must be on the same page, and you have to be able to trust your jet ski drivers and safety team.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just put your hands on your own balls and warm them up.
That's something so solo could be a team effort. Is that what you're saying was interesting, Noah?
Well, yeah. So it's interesting that he has to have like the right team around him. And I was thinking of what you were saying when you're on tour and how important it is for you to have like your friends and setting up the right kind of team.
Yes, vibe. So that you go into these things feeling as good as possible. Well, my dad always quotes this Walenda guy. He used to be a tightrope walker back in the days, and he would do these,
Nick Walenda,
Yeah, there's like a Walenda family, and the father.
Yeah.
Died, plummeted to his death doing one of these tightrope walks. And his wife said that the only time she has ever heard him say, like, I'm nervous about this one, was the one he died on. And she had never seen him have any kind of nerves or second guessing before that. Not to say that, like, that's what did it, but, or that maybe he knew, but, you know, it's just a lesson about just believe in yourself kind of thing and have this, like, unshakable confidence. But I don't understand doing something that.
It goes back to, I mean, that's a very slow death-defying thing.
Well,
you would think you'd like this one.
Well, Chris, no, it's not as fast.
That's what I'm saying.
You fall and then you're boom.
Oh, you fall fast.
But yeah, you fall very fast.
Yeah.
But Chris, when we were watching that, have you guys seen 16 Peaks?
14.
Whatever. 16's the new one.
16
it's by,
Candles.
It's by John Hughes.
Yeah.
It's about a mountaineering teenager in
Talk about
the 80s.
Really going on stereotypes with an Asian
Sherpa.
Character.
What do you mean?
Have you ever seen that movie? 16 Candles?
14 Peaks? Oh, yeah. Well, 14 Peaks, did you see it?
Yes, the Nepalese guy. I saw some of it. I was in and out.
I was watching it with Chris, and there's a part that's like K2. You know, people who attempt K2. 1 in 4 mountaineers who attempt it die. And Chris was going like, the whole movie is like, God, I would love to do this shit. And I'm just like kind of biting my tongue, being like, okay. Please stop saying that because I love you and I don't want, but like there's, and then when they said that thing, I go, would you do that one? Would you do that one? And he's like, yeah. And I go, 1 in 4 die. You would do that one if 1 in 4, if those were the odds.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was that mad. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
Why would you ever do something where 1 in 4 people die from doing it? That is just so stupid to me.
Does he even?
It makes me mad even now.
Has he ever even climbed the mountain? I'm just saying, like, to go from that to, like.
Well, like, he would work up to that. He's not going to go do that tomorrow after he hikes Castlewood. I mean, this is. He just says that it would be something he'd want to do in his lifetime.
And I get that.
It made me so mad.
He should do that other one.
You're not allowed to. If I, and he goes, but if I died doing it, like, I would die doing what I love. And I go, but you care so much about being there for others in your life. Like, he goes, I don't care if I die that way. That would be the greatest way to go out. And I'm like, but what about me? Like, I care. Like, isn't there something to living for others?
And I would love to interview the guy that dies on K2. And it's like, pretty stoked about how you're dying right now. And he'll be like, freezing to death. Like, it's not a cool way to die. You either.
I think it's suicidal, to be honest with you. I think it's just people that like to do that stuff are suicidal.
Have you ever seen that Alex Holm?
In a different way than most people.
He climbs no leash, no fucking wire, nothing.
I don't get it. Why would you? Can you try to help me understand, like, really quick, like, why someone would want to do something where guaranteed 1 in 4 die? Would you do that? I understand skydiving.
I think you're asking the wrong person. You should ask someone who would be inclined to do it.
Do you know what I mean? You're kind of death. Avi does like kind of like ice climbing shit. Like, do you think Avi would probably? Yeah, but does that make you mad when you're like, I'm going to marry you, motherfucker. You better not be climbing 14ers.
Next time you get in a fight, just send them a plane ticket to fucking Nepal.
No, I just get anxiety because I keep thinking, like, I have to be there and I have to do, like, also do it. And then he just reassures me, like, no, this is something I'll do with my friends. That's the only qualms I have.
I don't know why it bugs me.
The closest thing to
because, first of all, I want my boyfriend to be alive. And especially if I'm looking towards having a life with this person growing old. I mean, that's the goal. And you're jeopardizing that goal because you want to, like, take a picture on a fucking mountain and, like, sit on the mountain, breathe in the air. Like,
I think his argument would be, or these people's arguments, they go, well, if I can accomplish this, I'll feel so good about myself. I'll be a better husband to you. I know, but yeah, I'm just saying that's a thought.
I don't
want
to be with honestly, if he wouldn't give up that, that was his goal, I'd say then you need to be with someone else.
I just think you got to start at a smaller mountain. Start at 1 in 50 dying. Like, why are we going 1 out of 4?
But I've been suicidal before and people go, how could you be suicidal? And I'm like, because I'm depressed and I hate life. But if you're someone who likes life, why would you do something where there's a 25% chance you're going to die? Because on the other side of it is glory that you get to be like, I survived this thing. Why would you take that risk if you didn't enjoy life, really?
Because I don't think you can enjoy life without doing it.
I guess. I just don't. I wish. It just makes me like, I don't like that I can't understand it. And I think I just need to, understand it. Yeah. I can't relate it to anything in my life where I'm like, there's nothing.
What's the scariest thing you've ever done?
Dragon wings at Six Flags.
Okay. How many people have died doing
that? Zero. But it was so scary.
What about chicken wings at Hooters?
Okay, we gotta take a break.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. And with over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with the eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Let's do Why Do I Care?
Why do I care?
Okay. Kim Kardashian comments on Pete Davidson's BDE while talking about their first kiss.
Oh my God.
So she said it was a stage kiss, but it was still a little zing. It wasn't anything like super crazy. I was like, wow, I really haven't kissed anyone else in 10 years, so maybe I'm just being stupid and it's just nothing. And then a few days later, I was like, there is some BDE action. But the reason why I brought this story up is because I wanted to know if you guys remember your first kisses. And for Nikki, I guess this would be the seventh first kiss with Chris.
Oh, like the first kisses with the person that you're with. Currently.
Not like the first kiss.
Yeah, ever. Yeah. No, with your partners.
Real quick, I just want to say that I love their first kiss because it was when they were playing the Aladdin sketch. We've all seen like the still image of it. He, for like their anniversary, her birthday or something, got her the rug and the genie lamp and the costumes from like their first kiss. And I thought that was like, I think that's just so sweet. Like someone remembering like that first kiss time.
You know what this tells me though?
What?
It tells me not many people have access to Kim Kardashian. You know what I mean? Like that's 90% of all this is access. Pete Davidson got access to kiss her.
Well, Brenna slid into your DMs and she wouldn't have known about it had she not listened to you on a podcast. Like
I get that.
Everything is chance.
I get all that, but I'm just saying that like, oh, you know, like I haven't kissed anyone in 10 years. How many guys are even in the circle that can kiss Kim Kardashian?
To get it written into a sketch where you kiss her. It's absolutely that.
So she left her husband for one.
For the first guy she kissed.
Yeah.
No, she didn't leave her husband.
I know. But my point, I guess, is, and my first kiss with Brenna was actually fantastic.
Where were you?
First date. And
where was it? Car?
It was her getting into her car. We might have kissed before I think we pecked before that, but then it was the kiss before the car.
How do you peck before your first, like, why would you peck? Because it always comes at the end of the date. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It came in the middle of the date.
You pecked in the middle of the date.
I'm almost positive. But yeah, we definitely grabbed each other's asses during the date, which was so hot to just get that out of the way.
Were you just like doing it as a bit? It must have been a bit.
It was bit-ish. It wasn't like, fucking, we can't even stop ourselves from our romance. But I don't know. She was wearing a little dress and her ass was fucking looking great. But
she must have done something that led you to go, okay, I can touch this person's ass. You don't just do that.
Yeah, that's true. I can't remember.
I guarantee you I know what it was. It was probably like you said something about like butts and then you were like, I got a pretty good one. She goes, oh, really? And then you were like, yeah, you can feel it if you want. And then she probably didn't. You go, I want to feel yours. And then she probably was like, go for it. And then stuck out her butt and then you felt it.
I think that's exactly what happened.
I mean, I'm not joking you. I know that's what happened. I know how you work. I know I would like, and I know how flirtiness works too. Like that's the only way that could happen before a kiss.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
You want to touch? You can touch it if you want. Feel it. Then you flexed and she was like, okay.
Now
okay.
I get to grab your ass.
And then you made that and she goes, you can if you want. And you go, oh my God. And she bent over and you're like, this girl's cool. And then you did it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Do you remember first ask you? Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, our first.
What was the first Chris kiss?
Oh, it was the best kiss of my life. The first one was, it was the first time that I said, you know, I'm not going to be the first one to do it. I'm going to wait. I would have kissed,
But where was it? Like, set the scene.
Sixth Avenue. It was the comedy. You know, we had hung out a little bit one day before then, and I would have probably, my old ways would have been like, hey, can we just make out? Like, I always did that bit, you know, and then it would break the tension. We would kiss, and then the guy would eventually not like me because I took control of the situation, even though he was like, that's awesome that you said that. It would never work out in the end. So this time I was like, I'm not going to make the first move. I'm changing my ways. And we hung out, and he did make a move, and I was just like so sad. And then I'd given up on him. And then I was doing a set one night, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to throw out one more chance. And I was like going to the Comedy Cellar at 11 o'clock on a school night. We both worked on Nikki and Sarah Live. And it was the next day, and he lived in Queens, in Greenpoint, or Brooklyn. And so I was like, I was in the city, and I was like, hey, any chance you're in the city? And he was like, it was 10:30. And he was like, or maybe it was like 9:30. And he said, no. Why? And I said, oh, well, I have a set at the Cellar tonight at like 11, and I'm headed there now. And I thought if you were in the city, it would be cool if you dropped by. And he was like, I'll be there. And I was like, oh my God, I remember running out of my room to Anya and being like, he's coming. Oh my God, this is happening. And I was just like, oh, he's like, this guy is putting in effort. He's going to come to the city on a school night to like hang out with me late at night. I was just like, so excited. Like suddenly this thing, I had a crush on him for like 2 months at that point, every day seeing him at work, just like falling on the floor. Like, I love him. And I was so excited. And then he shows up and we are just like at this table, like awkwardly, like just sipping seltzers. And I go down and do my set. And I'm like, please don't come down and watch me, because I knew that was just like not going to give me, I was just too nervous. And then I came back upstairs and he was like, made best friends with the table next to us, of this like table of like fun ladies, like middle-aged ladies that were out. And they were just like, we love him. And I was just like, oh my God, like he's sitting with these ladies. And then he comes back to my table. Artie Lang comes in, and I had just done his like show, and he was like, hey, Nikki. And like came up and gave me a hug. And Chris is a huge Dirty Work fan, huge. And so he was like, I cannot believe Artie Lang, your friend Artie Lang. So it was like kind of like a cool
moment.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it was just so late. It was like 2 a.m. The place starts almost like closing. And I guess the point where we're just like, okay. And so we're walking out and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I know that I want to kiss this guy. And like, he's hung out long enough. I know he likes me. He knows I like him.
Is there any hand touching it yet?
No, nothing. Okay. And it's I'm terrible at flirting. So I'm sure that I was giving him nothing. But then we walk down McDougal. We take a left on, no, we take a left, whatever. It doesn't matter. We take a left on 4th Street, 3rd Street. And then we get to 6th Avenue.
Song?
We get down to 6th Avenue, and 6th Avenue goes uptown. And I was going to grab a cab to go uptown. And it was also the train entrance for him.
Now Billy Joel. Okay. Paul Simon next. Did you go on a bridge over troubled water or no?
And then so I'm just like waiting, and I'm like, Nikki, do not fucking say anything, because I wanted to break the tension so bad, because we're just kind of like,
yeah,
on the corner, like, okay, well,
oh, those are the
and I just like kind of like I'm looking down, I like look up at him, and he just goes, get over here. And he just like grabbed my wrist and just like pulled me over, and we just like made out, and it was amazing. It was the best. And I was just so glad, like, great, we kissed, it's over, like, end of the night, like, I can just go home, success. And he was like, do you want to come over? And I was like, no. What? Yeah, right. That's awesome.
I did that too.
I was
too,
like, I'll see you tomorrow. And I was like, taxi. He said he could not believe how fast it happened between like kissing, me going, no, yeah, and right, see you tomorrow. Taxi pulls up, I get inside it, and I wave goodbye, and I'm like, yes, I got it, you know? And that was it.
I like that you didn't let him go home.
No, I would never have done that. First of all, I was like, I'm such a prude.
Yeah.
I would have never done that initially. I was very like, I just wanted to kiss him. And I was so glad that I still liked him after we kissed.
Yeah.
Because that for me had always, as soon as I knew a guy liked me, I would always not like them anymore. But I was still very like, just like so into it. I was so excited. And I was like scared of like penis stuff. Like I still was like, oh, I don't know what that's going to be. And I don't know if I'm good at stuff and, you know, all that fraught stuff. So let's get to final thought.
Do you think you meet, it's probably a good, like, a good venue to meet someone at, like, the Cellar. Like, it gives you a sense of value. right? Because it's something you do. You're gonna look cooler at like the
cellar. That's good for a man. For me, I didn't do it as I just was like, this is a place it was just a place to go.
Yeah.
And it was a thing that I could make it seem like if he didn't like me, at least it's just I'm inviting a friend to come to this thing.
So it gives you an
but
out.
But it wasn't me being like, look how cool I am at all. Because first of all, women don't do that. Men think that way. Women, yeah. It doesn't work for us to be like, look how much value I have.
Yeah.
We don't. We just know. We may try that in the beginning because we see you do it and we know it works on us. So we go, maybe it'll work for me.
It kind of worked though. In a way, with Artie being there, like
it didn't. That didn't affect him liking me. It was a cool moment. I was like, oh, maybe I have some class. It didn't. He doesn't give a fuck. Like that. That was just where he was like, oh, that's cool. But it wasn't. Didn't make him want.
He's
to have
kind of
sex
in that world.
More.
Yeah, kind of in that world anyway.
He was. Yes.
Agreed.
But he was
not
more sexually attracted
to
me, whereas women definitely get more sexually attracted to someone who seems to have like famous friends and stuff.
What was it like though, being on stage and performing in front of him? Was that like the first time you did comedy in front of him?
Well, he didn't go downstairs.
No, he didn't go downstairs to watch me. So I actually had him not watch me for it was 6 months. He never saw me do stand up. I forget the first time he saw me, but I was really nervous. And now it's my favorite thing to perform when he's watching because I just know he's not. It's another thing again of I don't think it gives. He's not more horny for me afterwards. He's just I can't believe how good. He's just proud of me. Mm-hmm. Almost the way a family member or a friend would be of you're so good. He's just a fan in that way. But it's not it doesn't contribute to our romantic relationship. How does it feel to perform in front of Brenna when the crowd is tired?
Before they really get in? When they're light laughers.
We talked about that, right?
Yeah.
They're
a quiet crowd.
Yeah.
That's what she said to me. They're a quiet crowd.
Oh my God. Chris has seen me bomb so much.
But this is the thing. And I swear to God, I would admit that I bombed.
You didn't bomb.
I didn't bomb, but it felt kind of like a bomb. Especially, I didn't feel like they were a quiet audience until I heard her say it.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was funny. I really did enjoy it. But
it was circumstantial.
Yeah. How does it feel performing it? I like it. It was funny on one of the jokes. It's a delayed kind of laugh, you know.
It's a thinker.
Yeah, it's a thinker.
They got to do the math.
Where it's not...
Which one is your delayed laugh joke?
I knew you were going to say that.
I just want to know.
It's the end of the dog walker story.
How does tell me?
But I made more money. That joke.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
So it usually takes a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took. This crowd, I'm not kidding.
God, it's so weird when they take
it.
And
it's not, I'm not saying I'm a comedian. I'm not Dimitri Martin up here.
No one ever would think that.
I mean, everyone probably thinks this.
No, I know what you're saying, though.
It took, I'm not kidding, long enough where I almost said good night. No, it was my closer.
Oh, my God.
So I almost went, all right, and just ended on the, and I gave it, and I heard Brenna laughing in between. The timing.
Well, because she knows. She would have probably been on the same. There was something you did that night that because St. Louis is not a dumb audience.
Yeah.
They tend to get stuff. I've performed with them enough. And I know where some audiences are a little bit slow to jokes that are a little bit more under the radar and you kind of got to listen. Kevin Nealon-ish stuff where you got to be listening to get it. St. Louis isn't like that. I'm thinking you must have done something that made it a little bit more. It needed more. They needed more time with it. But Brenda knows the joke.
So her laughing allowed me to pause just long enough.
Oh, good.
For it to hit.
Yes.
And it hit hard. Really
of
hard.
Course.
Like surprise.
Because they're proud of themselves once they get it. The more work they put into it. It's like thing of oh, wait, we can't say that. It's like the Edge thing. You guys can't handle this. And then when they work for it and go, no, we can. They put in work. And so they're going to like it all the more. And when an audience feels proud of themselves for getting something that's they feel smart, they laugh so much harder. That's why you always, when you do a joke where it's very niche and only three people will get the reference, people laugh super, those three people laugh super hard because they want you to know, I got it, I'm smart. I do the same thing. I've done that to comedians where I'm like, I need them to know that I got that because I'm on the same wavelength and I'm smart, Mark Maron.
It's like, I know what word you chose, Gary Goldman.
Yes. Yes. But I know that Gary is not impressed by like pseudo intellectuals.
Oh,
so
no,
I would never try to even. I know he's so smart that he knows I'm dumb. So I wouldn't even try to convince him that I get it. If that
it's
makes
like,
sense.
Yeah, it's like your word choice, man. You could have went with a different word.
Oh, my God.
I know, man.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. But anyhow, yeah, I saw Dimitri Martin perform at the West Palm Beach Improv like 15 years ago.
He's one of my favorites of all time.
But like, I would say the crowd didn't seem like the smartest crowd. I would say 30% of the crowd would laugh just so they didn't. No one knew they were dumb. Like, honestly could, like, I remember looking at tables going, you didn't really get that. You're just looking around and then laughing because
I'm trying to think of one of his jokes and I can't recall any of them, but they're all so good. Okay, that's our show for today. We have another show tomorrow that we're about to record. I can't wait for it. We'll see you then. Don't be cut and
Jackie Gleason.
Ooh, that's one we haven't tried.
Maybe.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.